You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, again, we're looking for a good game this afternoon, a game in which we see both teams playing with integrity. In the same way, we look for that in the church. Now, the church is not the kingdom of God, but it is the salt of the earth. The church is the preservative, if you will, of the gospel. Just like salt preserves food, well, the church is the preservative of the gospel. Like salt, that oftentimes salt will bring out good flavor in food, right? Well, the church is to enhance the flavor of life. And maybe even like salt, the church is to make us thirsty for God. When the church fails to witness to God's love and mercy, inviting others into relationship, then it loses its saltiness. So let's talk for a minute about what it means to lose our saltiness. There are times when it is very difficult to pray. There are times when we just don't bother to study. We don't have time, or we just don't feel like opening up the Bible. There are times when worship seems as dry as a desert, and we are sitting in the pews making out our grocery list. I've been there. There are times when serving another seems just like another task that weighs heavy on our already full schedule. So this all follows with a lack in peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. We lack real joy. Now, I want to talk for a minute about grieving, because grieving is a little bit different. If you are grieving a loss, that is different from the spiritual dryness I am describing, because even in grief there can be joy. Joy in the depth of the love that we shared, and joy in the understanding that our love eventually is transformed into something new. But spiritual dryness can come after a time of testing, can come after a time of failure, can come when we are unable to see how our faith can possibly have any answers at all. And it is at times like these that God develops the real fruit in our lives, and God helps us to grow in peace, patience, joy, and gentleness through life experiences in which we are tempted to feel just the opposite. Now, God's kingdom is built on integrity, and integrity is what happens when we are honest. And that means honesty in good times and bad, honesty in our strengths and in our weaknesses. And we are dishonest every time we tell ourselves that we are okay when we know we aren't. Our mind may tell us that through Christ all sin has been overcome, and yet our hearts don't really know it to be true. Now, it doesn't have to be a challenge that causes us to address this. Sometimes it can be our blessings that cause us to address and be honest with God. I'll share with you, I remember there was a time when I had these just beautiful little blonde-haired boys, and they were all playing on the beach with me, and just had that excitement and vigor for life like little boys do. And during that time, I had to get really honest with myself, because even in the midst of that blessing, I was spiritually in the desert. And it was a time of really difficult soul searching for me. And I had to be honest about what I was learning about myself and what I was learning about God. It was a tough time. But if we want integrity in our faith journey, we have to defeat that temptation to be dishonest with ourselves. Here's the thing. Every time we resist the temptation to give up, okay, every time we resist that temptation to say, oh, none of this is worth it, this is just too much for me, we receive from God endurance, patience, humility, and we get closer to that love and that mercy and joy that God offers. Now, I want you to think about this beyond your own personal faith experience. And I want you to consider the whole church. The church also needs to be willing to take an honest assessment of our practices if we want to see the fruit of our faith. Every time we resist the temptation to just give up and say, you know what, this isn't working and this hasn't been working, every time we resist that and say, oh, we're going to go, every time we resist being honest with ourselves, the kingdom of God loses. Every time we get honest with ourselves, we receive those gifts of endurance and patience and humility, and we move closer to being the church that God wants us to be. Now, this month of February is Black History Month, and I'm going to share a story with you in celebration of that, and it's one that you may not have heard before. But do you know how the gospel was transmitted back on the plantations, the southern plantations? You know how it was transmitted back then? I mean, think about it, right? African American slaves were not allowed to learn how to read or write, and oftentimes they weren't even allowed to attend worship. So plantation slaves would gather in the dark, in the brush, to sing spirituals. And it was the sharing of the song, sharing of the spirituals, that transmitted the gospel story. Think about it. A gathered congregation under the protection of the trees, under a canopy of brush arbors, kind of gives the image of God in the talking bush a new twist, doesn't it? So Jerena Lee was an African-American woman born during that time. She was not born a slave. She was born of free parents. And so she was one of the few that was allowed to attend worship. Jerena Lee had this phenomenal, extraordinary conversion experience. And soon after that experience, Jerena Lee heard God's voice telling her to preach the gospel. Okay, this was in the late 1780s. One Sunday, she stood up and she voiced an inspired word right in the middle of worship. And the Reverend Richard Allen silenced her, pointed her, said, "You're going to sit down and you need to be quiet." Jerena Lee went home. And because of this powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, she began to deliver the gospel from her home, meeting with neighbors and families and all those who were sent to her by word of mouth. Well, 8 years went by, and this was about 1811. And again, one Sunday in worship, Jerena Lee, completely empowered by the Spirit, stood to speak. And the Reverend Richard Allen, the same preacher who had silenced her years ago, was present. And he couldn't deny the reality of the power of her call to share the gospel. He alone endorsed her ministry, and she became a voice that spoke, not hidden in the brush, not hidden in her home, but out in local church congregations. Her voice, empowered by the Holy Spirit, gave the gospel authenticity and integrity in the African American community. She became the first woman licensed to preach and transformed the shape of the Methodist tradition for women, for men, for blacks, and for whites. See, here's the thing. God's kingdom is built on integrity like that. God's kingdom is built on getting honest with ourselves about what we allow and won't allow. God builds integrity when we get honest, even in the midst of challenges, even in powerlessness, even in desert times. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is not easy work, and that is why we come to church. The church is to be a place of transformation, both spiritual and social. We come here to remember our saltiness, to have our life preserved through the practice of our faith, through worship and study and prayer and, yes, service. We come to learn how to be light for others and how not to hide that light. Thank God Jerina Lee did not hide her light under a bushel. John Wesley preached a sermon titled The Circumcision of the Heart, and it related to the integrity of our faith. And he stated that the goal for holiness is to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. That sounds like a charge, doesn't it? To be perfect? Us? Clay figures? You know, we can't grow without the grace of God, because the grace of God encourages us both at times of blessing and also at times of failure. The grace of God encourages us as we learn about our own humility. John Wesley described humility as being a right judgment of ourselves. He believed that both devotion to God and service to others are necessary for holiness. Both are part of our faith. And his integrity caused him to realize that in his time in history, the people who needed to hear the good news the most were outside working in the fields. And he went against his understanding of what was right practice in the church, and he went to preach in those fields. He kind of broke all the rules. Jerina Lee followed in his footsteps. So Wesley Church, let's grow in our integrity. Can we take an honest look at what we do or what we do not do here? How are we growing? How are we sharing the good news of the gospel? Rather than the people in this community searching for something better in life through things like a reality TV show or a myriad of addictions, imagine a day when people come to Wesley Church to learn the answers to their deepest need. And they come to Wesley Church to allow their biggest hopes to take root. Imagine a day when people come to Wesley Church because they know that the Holy Spirit works within this church to liberate people. That people come to Wesley Church because they know this church will accept and love them and hear their voices. Imagine a day when people come to Wesley Church to grow in their understanding of not only their past, but of their present and their future too. Imagine a day when people come to Wesley Church because they know they will not only be transformed, but they will be nurtured and sustained as well. So the place of transformation, the place of nurture, the place where we sustain is at this table, the Lord's table. All are invited and all are welcome to come and receive at the Lord's table.